If you've ever friended, tweeted, hashtagged, posted, or liked, you are very likely familiar with social media. According to the Pew Internet Project, as of January 2014, a whopping 74% of all American adults currently online use social networking sites. Not surprising, Facebook remains the dominant player with nearly 1.33 billion users worldwide, depending on who shared the stats on your page. Although social media is no longer the new kid on the virtual block, its presence on the trade show floor is surprisingly absent. And while Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and others seamlessly lend themselves to a range of marketing functions, few exhibitors are effectively leveraging these tools. Why is that? Retail gets it, Hollywood gets it. Why do so many trade show managers so seriously miss the mark? Digital evangelists at the beginning of the century predicted, "The end is nigh for trade shows and conferences." The opposite now seems to be true. Marketing executives are recognizing that face-to-face marketing is more critical than ever, and as a result, increasing their investments as the economy improves. But with all this spend, how can organizations leverage social media, truly tap into it to enhance the value, impact, and return on investment? Well, to answer this and other fascinating questions is why we're here, as today's podcast focuses on a hashtag social media on the trade show floor. Hello and welcome to Echelon's 12 for 12, a series of 12-minute podcasts created to inform, entertain, and inspire creative individuals. And as always, my name is Adam Voss. I'm an entertainer, professional MC, and fellow social media user and design geek, and I'll be your host for the next 12 minutes. In the same way that episode 3 of 12 for 12, and I know you've listened to it, addressed the subtle hidden dimension of proxemics, there's another vastly growing component of trade shows that exists in the ether. It's a world of chatter, the conversation behind the conversation, and a place where people in the know stay on top of peer opinion and observation. Today's guests are experts in this hidden realm and have been players, patrons, and proselytizers of social media throughout their careers. As the co-founder and strategic director of Chicago-based Orbit Media, Andy Crestedina has been providing web strategy advice for the last 14 years to more than 1,000 businesses over the globe. An avid teacher and professional public speaker, he's written more than 250 articles on content marketing and is the author of a book I'm holding in my hand right now called Content Chemistry, the Illustrated Handbook for Content Marketing. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you.
My second panelist, joining via phone and link technology is here, is Cass McCrory, a passionate marketing strategist and principal of Capra Strategy, a marketing and technology consulting firm with extensive experience in traditional, online, and mobile marketing. Hi, Cass. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, guys. Now, Andy, Cass, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you guys would both agree that trade shows provide a great opportunity for clients, prospects, and partners to come face-to-face with a company's physical brand. How can organizations leverage social media before, during, and after the show to increase the impact of this face-to-face opportunity?
Well, the before the show thing, I think social media turns into just a giant opportunity because it is the world's greatest phone book. You can look people up in advance. You can find out not just who they are.
Not just ex-girlfriends.
Well, most, they're definitely ex-girlfriends. It depends on the trade show. But there's a, I would try to look up people who are likely to be there, try to start conversations with them in advance, like spend some time on LinkedIn. Some shows will have their own LinkedIn group. You know, you can become really visible right in there just by engaging in that conversation, answering questions, asking questions. But I think there's some research up front that gives people a big advantage because then the people they meet, the faces they see at the show aren't quite as cold. It's easier to start that conversation.
Know your audience.
Know your audience. Know who's going to be there. Connect with them in advance. Start the conversation before the show. And it's not going to be quite as cold, right? You're going to walk up to people like, oh, yeah. If you watch social media people or those who are active in these networks engage, they're always sort of, they always have this weird moment where, hey, I already kind of know you, don't I? Because they've been interacting already.
Right. Now, are there specific social media channels that work better in concert with trade shows, you know, promoting these type of events?
So we really see trade shows as business-to-business events. And so in that way, LinkedIn is going to be a great resource because people are already in that frame of mind of networking from one business to another business. But at the end of the day, it is all about people. So using Twitter and having personal profiles of the people that are actually hosting your exhibition at the event, involved with the actual people that are in attendance, that's a winning situation, whether that's done on Twitter or LinkedIn, or depending upon your product, Facebook.
I totally agree. And along those lines, I mean, just polishing up that profile, anybody who's going to be at the show, it is without question worth it to do professional headshots, make sure, you know, get that copy edited, all that, you know, their bio, that description, write some recommendations for each other, people on your team. So make that LinkedIn profile really shine. It's going to help those people have a better show.
Now, there's a conversation, Andy, you and I had it at a party a few months ago. It's like the embodiment of a brand, being the face of a brand, putting an actual face behind the brand, being the CEO or the COO or somebody that's representing that brand. Do you find that, you know, like a personal channel like Facebook is better for that, or is a brand getting represented as well on a LinkedIn platform?
Well, people buy from people. Relationships happen between people. So you're putting yourself at a big disadvantage if you try to use social media from behind a logo. I wouldn't ever try, I mean, I don't recommend trying to tweet from behind a logo. You should really have a face, be a person. There's a famous marketer named Sonia Simone from Copyblogger who says that be a person. if you're human and you have a face and your personality, be human. You have an advantage, right? Social media is supposed to be a social thing. So I definitely have a voice, have a face, have a name. I think that's
Cass, as you're joining us facelessly via link and phone. what say you?
I definitely agree. I think that when businesses do right with their corporate channels, it's really so that their corporate channels become a good method for their own people to dispel their message. You know, for every company, it doesn't always make sense to have one person be the face. And so using your corporate channel, even if it is behind a logo, is a way to kind of power your personnel so that they can leverage it on their personal channels, whether that's Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, you know, providing a channel where people can leverage corporate content.
Right.
Makes sense.
There's a fun listening and research tool. It's not a social listening tool, but you know how when you type something into Google, it starts to suggest different search terms
for
you?
Yeah.
There's a tool called Ubersuggest. Ubersuggest.org. You put in a word or a phrase, and it will give you everything Google would suggest as if you typed in the next letter of the alphabet.
Interesting.
It's fascinating. So let's say we're in, we're selling, pricing model software. You know, which pricing, just put that into Ubersuggest and it's going to give you 200 different phrases that people are searching for related to that. It's really fun to read the minds of millions of people, and Ubersuggest.org is a way to kind of scrape the top of mind topics right out of Google. And then those are things people care about.
Right, exactly. So a lot of clients that are at the trade show from the exhibition or display side are really trying to feed the participants and viewers of their space into their CRM system, you know, the customer relationship management system. So how does pre or post show social media fit into this traditional CRM?
I like to look at trade shows as a product launch. You know, this is an opportunity for you to launch. So in the same way that you would have an email campaign and, you know, a targeted social push and potentially some paid search, when you do a product launch, you would want to do the same thing with whoever you're targeting at your trade show. So looking at your trade show attendance as a launch and creating a CRM plan that covers both launch, during the event, and then post-event, so that you are managing this arc of engagement that you're going to have with the participants.
Right. Well, and in concert with that, having content relevant to a launch, you don't want to just go there and show up with your pipe and drape and your logo, because if you're not launching anything, then your relevance is slightly limited.
Right. I think it's kind of an easy out for brands to just do the iPad giveaway. I think that you can be a lot more creative than that if you actually produce something that is valuable to your audience specifically, a piece of content that you might be able to use in lots of settings, but also at the show, and say, hey, here's the best practices guide, here's the white paper, here's the how-to, here's our, if you like this checklist. So you really have to give someone something if you expect them to give something to you. I mean, it's like reciprocity, it's psychology 101. So
right.
If you want to populate your CRM with people's information, you're gonna have a huge advantage if you have something to offer them. It's almost ridiculous to expect that you would be able to collect these things with, like, you know, the fishbowl and business cards and, you know, we're right. Giving away a new iPhone. You're going to be just like everybody else.
Right.
let's do something original.
Right. Yeah. And that's not my real phone number.
Right. Yeah. Just throw that in there.
Exactly. Hi there. You've been listening to my conversation behind the conversation with Andy Crestidina and Cass McCrory. We talked for what seemed like days, certainly more than our 12-minute episodes could muster. It was very hashtag social. As such, we've decided to leave you with a cliffhanger, breathless and alone, and cut this episode into two parts. So join us next month for the exciting conclusion of episode 6. And for a complete recording of today's podcast, equivalent dives and other engaging episodes, as well as extras, go to iTunes, listen online at www.echelondesigninc.com, or call me personally at home tonight. Until next time, like us and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And thanks for listening and for being so social. Ciao.